Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready to hear the news, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, Lawmaker Targets School Lunch Ingredients. This was written by Howard Fisher and posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, 12/16/24. An Arizona lawmaker isn't waiting for Robert Kennedy Jr. to fulfill his promise to remove artificial ingredients from school lunch programs. Republican Leo Biasiducci is crafting legislation that would bar public schools from serving what he calls, quote, ultra-processed foods, end quote, to students during the day. That includes not just what is available in the cafeteria, but also what can be purchased at snack bars and from school vending machines. And the Lake Havasu City Republican has a very specific idea of what fits that definition. His proposal includes everything from potassium bromate, which is used in making bread, to a host of food colorings. They include blue number 2, a synthetic version of indigo used on baked goods, cereals, and candies, and yellow number 6, the dye that gives Cheetos its distinctive color. Nothing in Biasiducci's legislation would preclude parents from sending lunches with their children that contain any of the chemicals that the measure would ban. And it apparently would allow such items to be sold at the snack bar at football games, as there is an exception for, quote, events held on the school grounds after the school day, end quote. All this comes amid heightened concern about food additives raised during the presidential campaign by Kennedy, as well as President-elect Donald Trump. Kennedy will have an outsized role in all of this as the new head of Department of Health and Human Services, if confirmed by the Senate. That is the parent agency of the Food and Drug Administration, which decides what additives are considered, quote, generally recognized as safe, end quote. And then there's the fact that there is precedent for at least some of this. One of the items on Biasiducci's list, for example, is titanium dioxide, a food color additive found in baked goods, puddings, frostings, and coffee creamers. The European Food Safety Authority has concluded that the chemical is no longer safe in food. On top of that, many of the companies that manufacture items with these chemicals make a separate version designed to pass European standards. So, while Fruit Loops sold here have red 40, blue 1, and yellow 5 and 6. What's available in Germany manages with fruit and vegetable concentrates, with the only listed coloring coming from carotene. Biasiducci told Capital Media Services he has been thinking about the issue for some time. That included a trip to Italy, where he began looking at the ingredients in their prepared foods and how they differ from similar products in the United States. Still, he said, it didn't get much attention. I think now, with RFK Jr. kind of getting in the spotlight and being in the position he is, I think this conversation has finally come to the forefront, Biasiducci said. The timing is perfect, he continued. This is now becoming something that people actually are paying attention to. But Biasiducci said that even with the new federal administration, he doesn't want Arizona to have to wait for the FDA to get around to reviewing and deciding whether to ban these chemicals. I just never depend on the federal government, he said. Biasiducci said this is no different than the state pursuing its own laws on things like human trafficking. I just don't want to wait that long. Biasiducci pointed out that his proposal is far narrower than anything that would have to go through the federal bureaucracy dealing only with school lunches. If we're providing this food for free to our children, which are the most vulnerable, I want to make sure that the food we are providing them on the government dime is actually safe and is not something that's toxic, he said. They're the ones that are growing and need to make sure they're getting the most nutrients. That goal, according to the Arizona School Boards Association, is a good one. And Heidi Vega, spokeswoman for the organization, called what Biasiducci is trying to do, quote, certainly a step in the right direction, end quote. But there's a caveat that goes with that. It's essential to ensure there's sufficient funding and transitional support available to local education agencies, she said. That funding, said Vega, is crucial to prevent potential negative impacts on meal accessibility for Arizona's most vulnerable students. Biasiducci acknowledged the financial issue, but he said that there appear to be some options. During COVID, the U.S. Department of Agriculture set up a program to help states deal with the challenges of supply chain distributions. The pandemic is gone, but the agency now is using those funds for, quote, try it local, end quote, in which schools operating under the National School Lunch Program can be reimbursed for purchasing, quote, unprocessed or minimally processed local or regional produced food for their lunch programs. Arizona got nearly $4.4 million for the program. Strictly speaking, the program does not mention artificial dyes or other additives, but the list of items that are eligible would seem to preclude or minimize their use, ranging from fruits and vegetables to meats, beans, and dairy foods, such as cheese or yogurt. Conversely, the program does not provide dollars for things like breaded meats, muffins, cookies, frozen bread, and ready-to-heat items like pre-made sandwiches and pizza. And Biasiducci said even if that program and its funding is shut down, he believes that the feeding of proper meals to students is a higher priority than some of the other things now funded by the federal government. We're spending how many billions, whether it's Ukraine or in the Middle East or other countries, he said, and we can't make sure our children are getting safe, non-toxic foods in our lunch programs? Biasiducci said, for me, I don't like that excuse. An aide to state schools, Chief Tom Horn, said his boss would like to do some research into the effect of these dyes and chemicals before taking a position. But Doug Nix said his boss has a history of trying to limit what can be available to kids on campus, noting he was behind rules adopted a decade ago to ban sugared sodas at school. There is some precedent for what Biasiducci wants to do. A new California law that takes effect in 2028 bans 6 specific artificial dyes from meals served at schools. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Arizona Gets $34.8 Million to Expand Charter Schools. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune 12/14/24 and written by Howard Fisher. Arizona is getting $34.8 million in federal funds to help create and expand charter schools in the state. Under the program, up to $300,000 would be available to nonprofits hoping to set up a new school as an alternative to traditional public schools. Funds also would be available to existing charter schools to expand their operations. State Schools Chief Tom Horn, whose agency is administering the grant, figures that that amount of money in the grant is enough to establish 24 new charter schools and expand another 23, enough, he figures, to serve about 10,000 students. The idea, according to Mark Francis, who works with the State Department of Education on charter issues, is not to permanently subsidize these schools, but instead to get them on their feet. He said that includes everything from hiring specialists to plan the program to buying the necessary chairs and desks. But Francis said that once operating, they are expected to be self-supporting with the aid they get from the state. Charters, which are technically public schools in Arizona, get an average of $9,313 per student in state funds, according to the Department of Education. That compares with $8,086 for traditional public schools. On one hand, the state does not fund transportation expenditures for charter schools, but the state does provide some additional dollars to charter schools because, unlike traditional public schools, they cannot raise local taxes. In both cases, however, the schools may not charge tuition. Francis said not just anyone who hopes to open a charter school is eligible. Aside from screening applicants for their qualifications to operate a school, he said the conditions of the funds set by the federal government require that the school be designated serve, quote, educationally disadvantaged, end quote, communities. Francis said this means that 30% of students come from homes that qualify for free or reduced priced meals, or the same percentage are from minority communities. He also said that the schools designed to serve children with special needs, such as those with autism or with a disability, also would qualify. What that also means, Francis said, is that these funds are open to many different geographic areas of the state. The additional dollars to open more charter schools come as many traditional schools are struggling with declining enrollment. Some districts even are being forced to shutter schools. Horn, however, said he does not see the expansion of the charter school system, there are more than 600 in Arizona, as the cause of those changes. The charter schools in Arizona go back to the 1990s, he said, and Horn, who said he was a champion of charter schools when he was a state legislator, said that they serve a legitimate purpose. Even a good district school may not necessarily meet the needs of all the students, he said, and so the parents should have the ability to find a school that does meet those needs. And, just like traditional schools, any student can apply with charter operators unable to set admission requirements. But traditional schools cannot turn away students who live within their district. Charter operators, however, can limit admissions using a lottery system to determine who gets in. Still, there are some differences. A person does not need to be a certified teacher to work in a charter school, though the law bars a charter school from hiring someone whose teaching certificate has been surrendered or revoked. Francis said applications are available now for those wishing to apply for a grant. He said the process is designed so that, if approved, a new or expanded school could be opened by this coming August. End of story. Our next story is entitled Queen Creek Releases Service Schedule for Holidays. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent 12/17/24. No author is listed. Queen Creek town offices and services will be affected by the upcoming holidays. Offices, the library, and the recreation annex will close at noon on Tuesday, December 24th, and will be closed all day on Wednesday, December 25th, and Wednesday, January 1st. Trash and recycling services will be impacted by the holidays. Residents in zones 3 and 4 will be serviced on the day after they are normally scheduled. Zone 3 will be serviced on Thursday, December 26th and Thursday, January 2nd. Zone 4 will be serviced on Friday, December 27th and Friday, January 3rd. Bulk trash services will also be impacted by the holidays. The closures will not affect any public safety or emergency services. Residents with water, sewer, or streets emergencies during the closure are asked to call 480-358-3131. Right after Christmas Day, the town will open its self-serve Christmas tree drop-off. Residents will be able to dispose of their trees from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, December 26th through Tuesday, January 9th. The self-service drop-off area is located just north of the town's field operations facility at 19715 South 220th Street and can only be accessed via Ryan Road. All lights, decorations, and ornaments must be removed from trees before they are dropped off. Only live Christmas trees will be accepted. Collected trees are chipped and used as roadside cover at Waste Connections Landfill for dust control. Additionally, town trash and recycling customers can schedule a bulk pickup for their trees at no additional cost by visiting queencreekaz.gov/bulk-trash. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, and I am your volunteer reader. Our next article is entitled Santan Valley Schools Transitioning to New Model. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent 12/16/24. No author is listed. With the reorganization of the Florence Unified School District into middle school model, schools are getting new names and new principals for the 2025-26 school year. Florence K through 8, 460 South Park Street will be separated into two schools on one campus. The elementary school will be called Florence K through 6, while the lower part of the campus will serve students in 7th and 8th grades as Florence Middle School. Santan Heights K through 8, 2500 West Santan Heights Boulevard will become Santan Heights K through 6 and remain on the same campus. Seventh and eighth graders will attend Santan Mountain Middle School, where the Mountain Vista Academy is currently located at 33622 North Mountain Vista Boulevard. The academy will be moving to the Partners Preschool campus at 29895 North Desert Willow Boulevard. The Partners Preschool will be moving to Copper Basin K through 6, 28682 North Main Street. Finally, Walker Butte, K through 8, 29697 North Desert Willow Boulevard, will be renamed Walker Butte Middle School, with the boundary line being Johnson Ranch Boulevard. K through 6 students currently at Walker Butte K through 8 will either attend Santan Heights K through 6 or the newly renamed Skyline Ranch K through 6, 1084 West Santan Hills Drive. New middle schools mean new administrations leading the way. As we welcome these new administrative teams, we encourage everyone to get involved, share feedback, and support our schools. Our united efforts will ensure that Florence Unified and the communities of Florence, Coolidge, Santan Valley, and Queen Creek continue to be a place where all students can thrive academically, socially, and emotionally, FUSD Superintendent Chris Knutson stated in a district press release. Together, we look forward to a bright future for Santan Mountain, Walker Butte, and Florence Middle Schools. Santan Mountain Middle School will be led by Principal Henry Saylor Sheets and Assistant Principal Heather Zurtuch. Both currently serve in the same roles at Santan Heights K through 8. With more than 20 years of experience in education, Saylor Sheets came to FUSD in 2015 and started as an assistant principal at Poston Butte High School. In 2016, he moved to Santan Heights as an assistant principal and athletic director after the FUSD consolidation with Coolidge. Zurtuch started her career in education in 2000, teaching third and sixth graders in Parker. She relocated to Florence in 2014, teaching fourth grade English language arts at Anthem K through 8 before moving to Combs Traditional Academy. Familiar faces will be at the helm at Walker Butte Middle School with Principal Jeffrey Christ and Assistant Principal Scott Johnson, who currently serve in the same positions at Walker Butte K through 8. Christ has worked for the district for more than a decade. He taught mathematics to 7th and 8th grade students at Circle Cross Ranch before moving to Walker Butte as the Dean of Students and Athletic Director. After that, Smith went back to Circle Cross Ranch for 3 years as the school's assistant principal before returning to Walker Butte as principal in 2022. Johnson has been with the district for more than a decade. After 5 years of teaching middle school, Johnson worked as a dean of students and assistant principal before taking the role of elementary principal in 2017. Florence Middle School will be led by Principal Stephen Rusty Smith and Assistant Principal Jeffrey Fox. They currently serve in the same positions at Florence K through 8. Smith was named the principal of Florence K through 8 in 2013 and has worked in the district since 2014. He began his career in education as a teacher at Anthem K through 8, where he taught 5th through 8th grade science and social studies. In 2019, he became the Dean of Students and Athletic Director at Florence K through 8 before moving into the assistant principal position in 2020. Fox is a recent addition to the district. He's originally from Seattle and lived in Fairbanks, Alaska before moving to Arizona in 1982. In his more than two decades as an educator, he has spent most of his career in special education. The FUSD's middle school model has created two new K through 6 schools, and the new principals are ready to start in the 2025-26 school year. Rosie Quintero will take the helm at Santan Heights K through 6. Originally from Michigan, Quintero holds a Bachelor of Science degree in elementary education with a minor in special education. In 2011, she relocated to Arizona and later earned a master's degree in education specializing in applied behavior analysis from the University of Arizona and a master's in educational administration from Fort Hays State University. Quintero taught second and sixth grades, as well as special education for students in the third through eighth grades. Rebecca Ramirez has been selected as the new principal of Florence K through 6. Born and raised in Florence, Ramirez began her teaching career at FUSD, where she spent 11 years as a primary teacher and reading interventionist. She then joined Mesa Public Schools, where she served in various roles for more than 11 years, including teacher, reading specialist, instructional coach, assistant principal, and principal for 3 years. Ramirez holds a bachelor's degree in elementary education from Northern Arizona University and 2 master's degrees, one in elementary education and the other in educational leadership, both also from NAU. The district began discussing the transition to a middle school model in the 2023-24 school year. In January 2024, the district sent families a survey to gauge interest in the new model of education. Of those responding, 56.3% strongly agreed and 23.8% agreed with moving to the middle school model. The findings of the survey and the district's plans were presented to the FUSD Governing Board in February. The board approved the plan in May. FUSD schools are located in Florence and in Santan Valley. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Sellers Pushes Dominion Decision to New Board. This was posted in the Santan Sun, 12/15/24, and written by Ken Sane. Maricopa County Board of Supervisors Chairman Jack Sellers could have held a grudge. In what would be his final meeting, he could have dealt a blow to some of the people who made it his final meeting. But that would not be the man his fellow commissioners described in saying goodbye. Sellers decided to continue indefinitely a decision on the fate of the Sonoran Landings project, which would bring an affordable housing senior living complex to an affluent area of South Chandler, despite strong opposition from the neighbors. The action means getting that complex built at that location is unlikely and maybe even impossible. You know, this has been a very emotional issue, and I really feel that it should be dealt with at the city of Chandler rather than in Maricopa County, Sellers said in announcing the continuance. I'm encouraging Chandler to annex the property and then go through this process with their own planning and zoning people and let their people be heard and make the decision based on that. Sellers lost a chance to hold on to his seat in the Republican primary this past summer. Current Chandler City Councilmember Mark Stewart, who easily defeated him, has been leading efforts to kill the Sonoran Landings project. A few posts in a Facebook group created to oppose the Sonoran Landings project seemed to support Stewart over Sellers. The December 11th supervisors meeting was Sellers' final appearance as a member of the board. It also happened to be when the fate of the affordable housing project was supposed to be decided. Sellers put what he thought was best for the community over any personal grudges he may have had. His fellow commissioners say that's what he's been doing since he joined the board. To see what all these three men were subjected to has just been a disgrace, Supervisor Tom Galvin said of Sellers and 2 other supervisors who were participating in their final meeting. These 3 men sitting next to me have been subjected to death threats, to abuse, to epithets, only because they did the right thing. You know what they did. They turned the other cheek. I never saw them become bitter. I never saw them become angry. And I never saw them try to lash out in the way that these people were lashing out at them. Republican members of the board received death threats after certifying the results of the 2020 and 2022 election. Members of their own party had urged them not to because of conspiracy theories claiming the election was stolen. Courts have not recognized any credible evidence of that. Affordable housing builder Dominium has been seeking a zoning change to allow it to place a 272-unit senior living complex on Ocotillo Road, about a quarter mile east of Arizona Avenue, for about 2 years. Opposition started immediately. The first proposal included a multifamily housing complex and had more than 500 units on about 24 acres. When the city of Chandler voiced opposition and neighbors began efforts to stop it, Dominium altered its plans to just the senior living complex with 2 large industrial buildings. Now Dominium either has to try and work with the city, which has consistently opposed it, or take it back through the county, with Stewart now being the key vote to decide the project's fate. Stewart attended the meeting and sat with some of the leaders of the neighborhood opposition. Quote, as we have for more than 2 years, Dominion will keep working in good faith with neighbors, city and county elected leaders, and other stakeholders on the best way to develop this 24-acre parcel, end quote, Owen Metz said in a statement. He's an executive with Dominion based in Arizona. Quote, we deeply appreciate the outpouring of support from local community groups who understand the housing needs for the region. We will continue to work to develop this parcel to benefit the entire valley. And Dominion will continue to bring first-class projects to the region to help alleviate Arizona's housing supply crisis. The Valley Interfaith Project has been leading efforts to support Sonoran Landings Project. That is a coalition of religious groups, nonprofits, and community activists. The nonprofit held a press conference on December 9th to try and mount more support for the project, pointing to the huge need for affordable housing in Chandler. VIP pointed out the median rent in the city is $2,301, and more than 2,000 seniors are homeless in Maricopa County. Leaders said Sonoran Landings would only be a drop in the bucket of what is needed. That bucket will remain empty. Dominion owns the land and it wants to build on, but without a zoning change, it will not be able to put apartments on it. Whatever route they try next, through the city or the county, the opposition appears entrenched. That's because sellers did not hold a grudge. This man is the conscience of this board, Supervisor Bill Gates said while pointing to sellers. The decisions that we made standing up against our own party, standing up to people who had bad intentions, it was because of this man. He always does the right thing. Always. End of story. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.